Triple M's Dead Set Legends. Find them smiling every Saturday morning from 9 for CMI Toyota, who love to see you CMI-ling at one of their three big locations. 104.7 Triple M.
Yes, good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Saturday edition of Dead Set Legends. It's great to be with you on this beautiful, beautiful autumn morning. Bit of cloud, bit of blue sky, nice crisp wind. Hoping you can stay with us for the next 3 hours. We have an absolutely screaming show today. It's all happening in the wonderful world of sport as I welcome my co-panelist this morning, a young man who was loved by all the ladies here at Triple M. They treat him like a big cuddly bear, the one and only Andrew Newton-Jarm. Good morning, Jarz.
Good morning, Coach. Mate, good morning, Adelaide.
What's your secret, Jarz? Well, why do the girls love you?
No, everyone loves me.
No, including yourself.
No. Come on, big cuddly bear. Fitting.
Big cuddly bear. And a man who's put his body through a great deal of torture, cleansing, hasn't had a drink for about 6 months, looks like a Greek god, the one and only Greg Blewett. Bluey, good morning.
Good morning, everyone. Yeah, it's been a stressful week, KG.
So
I fell off the wagon last night. I've had a Dane Swan
moment
during the week. I'll tell you about that as the show goes on. So very, very stressful. So I had to have a couple of beers last night, KG.
So what happened?
Well, I've got a few.
You're going to go off for a month.
I 3.5 weeks. Oh, I've got a show I'm going to tonight, which I was always going to have a couple of drinks. So I thought, I've just got to warm myself up a little bit. So
I'll rephrase my introduction there. Welcome with Greg Blewett, the alcoholic. We've got a big program, folks. Who's on the show, Jazz?
Hang on.
We got Steve Waugh, I'm looking forward to. So he's coming up at 9:30. And Alistair Lynch, talk all things AFL, KG.
All things.
Yeah, going well, aren't we? Good start.
Come on.
Jeez, he was scrambling for his rundown.
Did you swear then?
No.
Did you just swear then? Did you say the F word then?
No, what? I did not. No. I'll use it a little later, though. Hey, a hot topic coming your way, folks. Don't you dare leave us. Stay with us for the next 2.5 hours. Controversy, drama, excitement. We've got it all for you.
Dead Set Legends, KG Jarz and Greg Blewett. 104.7, it's Adelaide's Triple M Saturday morning Dead Set Legends, KG Jarz and Greg Blewett on the radio.
Good on you, Tim. Now, this is a very, very serious issue, and I don't want to sound as though I'm being self-indulgent here, but I've been so lucky to be able to be watching football for 60-odd years. Mm-hmm. And what I'm seeing right at the moment, mm-hmm. I'm not liking. Not liking it one bit. Like last night's game, GWS, who had all the gifts that any
the good
club
picks, the good draft picks,
whatever, kicked 2 goals to 3/4 time,
yeah,
4 for the game. Cast your mind back 3 weeks ago, Brisbane kicked 2 goals for the game. I found myself last night, Bluey and Jars, switching it off and going to bed, and I've never done that in my life. But something is horribly wrong.
I agree, because last night I was at my in-laws and I thought I'd go and sit down and watch the footy with Grandad. I watched the first 15 minutes.
And you could tell.
I counted 15 ball-ups in the first 15 minutes. Then I went into the other room and watched Vet on the Hill.
Well, then,
how bad's that? And I'm a football purist.
You are. You've played the game at the highest level. You've coached. What is the damn problem?
Well, it's the look of the game as a start.
Shocker.
The skill levels, it's all about defence now. The congestion is killing the game. It's all about defence. Get 26 numbers around a stoppage, and then who can ever work the ball out of that stoppage, that's the most skillful side. Geelong's defence was very, very good. They set up very, very well behind the football, but that GWS is meant to be a top three side.
Well,
the concessions they've been given by the AFL.
Enormous.
$250-odd million into their coffers to build a football side, and they delivered that
have
rubbish.
Have we got enough talented players?
No, we haven't. No,
we've spread the player.
It's so thin, it's not funny.
The game's got real serious issues here.
So who are we blaming?
Coaches.
But we spoke to Paul Roos last week, and he was saying always, you know, this time of the season, we talk about the same sort of things. The game's got a problem. But Jars, in your humble opinion, do you think it's got to that point I've got to admit, KG, I turned it off last night.
Well, there you
go. 3/4 time, and I was thinking, I always look through the rounds and go, what are the great games coming up? And I'm hardly seeing any blockbusters. They used to be, felt like to me there'd be three or four really good games a weekend.
Yes, correct. Yeah.
Now, I reckon we're lucky to see...
Even the bottom sides normally put on a pretty good show.
Well, see, that's the point. I'm now saying to them, I used to watch every game on most weekends. AFL football, loved it. Now I'm picking and choosing what games I watch. The two big games for me were on Easter Monday, Hawthorne, Geelong, and Richmond and Collingwood. Other than that, it's been all
well. If we're really concerned about the game, the crowds aren't turning away. Well, the numbers have been extraordinary for the AFL.
But you can go for so long.
The fans aren't turning their back on the game, Cage.
Well, have we got it wrong? I don't think I have. The game's stuffed.
This is Geelong coach Chris Scott. This was his suggestion during the week.
If, by definition, the game is too congested because there are too many players around the ball...
Take players off the field.
In 1910, ruckmen were 5'8". And now we've got 6'10" guys who run 15 k's a game. Yep. If we put 6 players on the interchange bench and 16 players on the field and didn't tell anyone, I argue not many people would notice the difference, except they'd say, geez, it feels a bit more open.
Interesting point there. That's been mentioned many, many times before. Neil Kerley has been saying for years that they should only have 16 players a side.
What about the integrity of the game, though, Jars?
Exactly.
It's always been 18. Yeah. And then, you know, in 10 years' time, do we be saying, oh, maybe if we should take two more?
Yeah, two
you
more.
You know, you get 14 aside. I'm not so sure. I totally understand what he's saying.
I'd love to see 16 aside played in junior football and Colts football so they can develop their skill level.
Yep, good point.
In senior football, no. You've got to keep it at your traditional 18. I think... We have 90. It's the interchange. It's the capping the interchange.
Yeah.
Get it 10 per quarter. Have 40 a game.
Plus, you've got to look at the coaches, Jars. Honestly, some of those coaches, and I say this respectfully,
are coaching to survive.
Coaching to hold their job. And they're not out there. Their priority, I don't think, they want to win the game, but they want to do it really defensively.
This is what Robbie Wall said about AFL coaches.
Oh, the coaches have to take most of the responsibility because, you know, the coaches, they put in the tactics and the strategies. They've got coaching panels that are as long as your arm, and they're the ones who direct the players. Every time you hear a player talk, he says, oh, my role is to do this, my role is to do that. Players don't play with natural flair like they did in the past, and so we don't see, you know, players going for high marks because the ball's not kicked to contests. It's the coaches, no doubt.
There you go. He's hit the nail on the head. No doubt about that. Robbie Walls, take a huge bow.
We're starting to see it in local footy, that defensive negative attitude coming down to grassroots footy. I'm starting to see it in Div 2.
Yep.
And clubs are doing it really well now. So you're not kicking your 5 goals a quarter because you want your 20 goals a game. And,
of course
you want it. You want it. It's an entertainment sport, isn't it?
Well, four.
Is it or not?
Of course it is. It's a big entertainment sport. It's the biggest in the country, for goodness sake. And we're seeing sides kick 2 goals for a game and 4 goals for 2.
Well, GWS were the great example in previous years of, great
offense.
Talent. And they would just go run. And now, I mean... 4 goals last night. They're a changed team. I mean, they're still a very good team. They had a really bad night last night, but that's a great example of a side changing from year to year.
Okay, we're going to throw it up in Bluey and Jars to the Triple M family. What's your version of the game? Is it stuffed? Are we up the wrong tree? Give us your thoughts. They're wonderful people, they really are. CMI Toyota, West Terrace in the city. Your choice is yours, folks. Now, the topic this morning, folks, is the AFL game of football. How can we fix it? Not enough goals have been kicked. It lacks entertainment. How do we fix? How would you fix the AFL situation? 133353 is our number.
Darren of Freeling, g'day mate.
How you going, guys?
Good, Darren.
I don't know if you heard what Blighty said earlier in the week about having 666.
Yep.
What I would do for every centre bounce, everyone's got to start in their traditional position.
Yep.
So you got. Full forwards and full backs start from the goal square, pockets and pockets, flanks and flanks, and so for every centre, that sort of might even bring back a bit of like seeing full forwards actually having a part of the game again.
Yeah, look, there is some talk that they may put 2 or 3 forwards inside the forward 50 and they got to stay there at all the stoppages. But the coaches will exploit it. They'll find a way. Daz, thanks for that, mate. Let's go to Phil of Gawler. G'day, Phil.
There you go, mate.
Yeah, good, Phil.
I reckon they've got to stop this
stupid bounce up where they've got to name who's going up for the ball. As soon as the decision is made for a ball up, just throw the thing in the air.
Yeah, look, because I
totally agree with that.
Or bounce it. But the other thing is they need to pay decisions for dropping the ball.
Yep.
Instead of having a great big conglomerate of players all around in a mob, you got to keep the game flowing, but you also got to reward the tackler. Well, sometimes the ball just falls out. He just goes off. The other team picks it up and kicks a goal.
Look, I agree with that. If there's a ball up, just throw the ball up. But what they do now is they indicate...
They wait.
But they wait, and then more people around the fall of the ball.
Everyone, and all the players are rushing in while they're waiting.
Just throw it up. Yeah. Move on.
And the incorrect disposal as well. Like, there are so many... That drives
me
crazy.
Well, the tackler doesn't get rewarded. No, not at all. So he's getting phased out of the game. Adam of Elizabeth Vale. G'day, Adam.
How are you, fellas?
Good, mate.
Good, Adam.
My solution to creating more goals would be to not cap the interchange.
Yep.
That capping the interchange creates tight bodies. It slows the flow down.
Yeah, it does.
More interchanges, better flow, more goals.
All right, so you want more, because now it's currently 90 at the moment, so it was 110, so you want to go back to 110.
I don't even think there should be a cap, to be honest.
That's a good point.
See, the forwards,
I don't mind that.
The forwards are covering so much ground, that they run out of legs, run out of puff.
The forwards play like midfield now.
Yeah, exactly.
As do the defenders.
Yeah, but correct me if I'm wrong, Jazz. Yeah. If guys are fresher because they've been off the park, aren't they going to get to the contest more regularly? Doesn't that create more congestion?
Well, it does.
Exactly right.
Alex of Westbourne Park. G'day, mate.
G'day, boys. How are you?
Good, Alex.
Good.
Look, I reckon a lot of it's got to do with the coaches, and because the coaches have more money and they have more people available to them, the game's changed. If the coach went back to concentrating on everything, it'd make it a lot different, because coaches don't make changes like they used to anymore. The last person that made a change or used his nouse if something was going wrong was Blighty. He pulled something out of the bag.
Yeah, it's true.
The coaches don't have the personality these days like players.
Good point.
See, Robert Wall's hit the nail on the head when he said that the game's in the hand of the coaches when we start.
But Alex's point is that on game day, coaches just leave it. They don't make any changes. They don't try and throw the magnets around.
That's never going to happen.
Yeah, but that's where the coaches are today. Like you said, Blighty and Kevin Sheedy, they were ahead of their time on game day. They were great game day coaches.
So who are making the moves, though? Is that the forward line coaches or those coaches?
The line coaches have a fair bit to say.
Have we got too many coaches? Robert Wall said the coaching panel is as long as your arm.
Yeah,
everybody's throwing his 2 cents worth in. Mm. Goodness gracious me. And what we saw last night was terrible.
Good on you, Alex.
Absolutely terrible. Not good. We've got a problem. Absolute problem. Give us a call, folks. Coming up, we've got Steve Waugh, former Australian cricket captain, joining us on the program.
Dead Set Legends, KG Jars and Greg Blewett for CMI Toyota. Triple M. Triple M for CMI Toyota, South Australia's number one Toyota dealer. This is Dead Set Legends. You've got KG Jars and Greg Blewett.
Now, boys, Justin Langer was named Australian cricket coach a couple of days ago.
No surprise, Billy.
Fantastic appointment. Yep. I think so. But our next guest, very excited to have this man on the line, one of my ex-captains, and the one and only Steve Waugh joins us on Dead Set Legends. Tugga, welcome. Yeah, really good. Thanks, mate.
Hang on, Blue. Tugga. Sorry, mate. It's Jars. I captained against you. The phone's stuffed, mate. Come on.
Try it now. I think we're right now.
All right, Tugger, I think we've got you now, mate. What are your thoughts on your great mate JL being handed the reins of the Australian cricket team?
Yeah, look, I think it's a really fantastic choice for Australian cricket. He was probably the obvious one. I think right now they're going to need that sort of mentoring father figure in the side. There's going to be some young players coming in. Obviously, Smith and Warner for the next 12 months. So it's going to be some difficult times in his first year in the job. But he loves the talent. He's committed to Australian cricket, and he saw the passion through the press conference over the last couple of days that he's really excited about the job. Which is a big thing. It's a big task, particularly taking all three formats of the game.
Steve, what sort of changes? Look, it'll take Justin a while, but what sort of changes initially do you see Justin making?
Look, I think he's just got to get to know the players to start with. He's obviously been in the Western Australian setup for the last 5 or 6 years and turned those guys around. He'll want to get to know them as people, not just as cricketers to start with. That's going to take some time. He's obviously seen a lot of the players. lot of West Australian players in the squad, which is obviously important. But I think it's just about getting the guys to enjoy their cricket, to have each other's backs, and to play the Australian way. I guess that's going to be the challenge going forward, is the perception of people talking about no sledging in the game of cricket. You've got to be careful how you play, I guess, but the Australian way is always to be combative, to be positive, to have a bit of chat at the field. As long as it doesn't cross the line, we've got to play to our style. So hopefully Justin will keep that intact.
Exactly right.
Now, Tugger, there's a review just about to start in the culture of the Australian cricket team. Now, from your point of view, you've obviously followed the game quite closely still. Have you seen any danger signs, or what have you thought about the way the team's gone about it over the last couple of years?
Yeah, look, there's always that knee-jerk reaction, isn't there, when things don't go well, and you have reviews. I mean, we had the Argus review, which I was part of a few years ago, and now we've got two reviews going concurrently. I'm not really sure what the mission statement is of those reviews, but I think Ricky Ponting said 4 months ago there was no need for review, or 6 months ago, when the side was beating England 4-0 in the Ashes.
Yeah, so that's right.
Be a little bit careful, we don't overreact to it. I think there's been probably occasions where the team looks like they've been a little bit out of control on the field with the chat and the way they've reacted after taking wickets. I think A.B. de Villiers was probably a case in mind where probably the best batsman in the world, and you drop a ball at his feet, and then you carry on with this extra celebrations. You don't need that sort of stuff. I mean, once you get the wicket, you've got the wicket. So I think we just got to pull it back a little bit, but we just don't want to delve too deep and cause issues that maybe aren't there. And I think having two reviews at the same time is a lot. I don't mind if there's reviews in the players, but there's going to be reviews in the administration as well. I think that's you've got to look at those guys to see how well they're running the game.
Yeah, well, Steve, that was my next question. Do you see further changes, particularly higher up within Cricket Australia?
I really don't know. I'm not sure, as I say, what exact role is of these reviews, but I don't think you make too many wholesale changes. You put a lot of plans in place. I mean, Blue's been part of the setup, so we know better than me what's going on within the Australian side. It's going to be tracking pretty well. My big issue, and I see the grade level, is fuel cricket and grade cricket. We've got to make sure they're in the right place. So I don't like players coming in and out of fuel matches where they're playing 2 days and resting. And
yeah, exactly
and
right.
Grade cricket, there's players been taken out of grade cricket because they've got a future fleet game on or under-19 carnival. I mean, you've got to toughen up players. They've got to be resilient enough to handle the next level. And to me, we're making players a little bit soft by picking and choosing when they play and pulling them out of games halfway through. So for me, that's the big issue, is getting back to basics.
Exactly.
I think Justin will do that. He's always been a big advocate for guys going back to grade cricket. And I think that's where it all starts.
Steve, was there an overreaction towards Smith, Warner and Bancroft regarding the ball tampering, knowing that other countries and other players have done it and only copped a game or two and a fine?
Yeah, look, I think if you're Australian, you know you're going to be in the firing line if you do something wrong. I mean, we, set ourselves high standards. We play the game pretty tough. And if things go against us, then there's a lot of people waiting in the wings to sort of slip the knife in. So that's just the way it is. And, hold yourself to high expectations. And I think Cricket Australia, in some ways, has got to be congratulated. They've made a stance. I think the ICC, for too long, have just token penalties for these sort of things. And they are a blight on the game. So, look, the guys who paid the fancy with Smith, Warner and Bancroft, that's a heavy price to pay. But the great thing about that is they've taken on the chin, they've accepted it, and I guess they've set the standard for the rest of the playing countries. That this is what we do to our side, and I think it will help the game, hold the game in good stead going forward.
Steve, just quickly, as a former captain, great captain, when you first saw the vision of what was happening in South Africa, what was your immediate feeling and reaction?
I think, like everyone else, would be a shock why they were doing it. I mean, we had the best bowling attack in the world. Mm. That pitch was up and down. It was sort of hitting the bowlers. I think it was, in my mind, I just saw a lot of players who were mentally fatigued from a lot of time on the road. I mean, I looked at Steve Smith in a previous test, and he seemed a bit chaotic in his mindset when he was batting. He was all over the place and jumping around, and it wasn't the normal Steve Smith. And I think Warner was under a lot of pressure, and all these guys have been away for so long, playing so much cricket. You can't use that as an excuse, but I think they were mentally fatigued and weren't thinking clearly. But I mean, obviously, if they look back on their footage and look back on the plan, they would say, what the hell were we doing? What were we thinking? And I just think at the time they were muddled in there and not clear on what they were doing.
Exactly.
Where are you, mate? You're fishing at the moment. That's the rumour.
Oh, yeah, mate. I'm with a young bloke, Austin. So, it's good to have a bit of family time and do the normal stuff around. Not catching any at the moment, mate. We're just feeding the little fish. But, just doing some stuff like that, mate. It's just good, when yourself when you're away on tour a lot, and
I'm doing a normal thing. So for me, it's about, you know, spending time with the kids right now.
Beautiful.
Well, what's your boat, mate? About a 50-footer? You'd be...
Oh, no, there is no boat, mate. No.
There is
I'm
no...
off the rocks, mate. He's off the rocks.
Rexy Hunt.
Steve, thanks for your time, mate. We appreciate it. And all the best, Steve.
Yeah, good on you. Thanks, guys.
See you, Tucker.
Steve Waugh, the Forbes Australia Captain. He was tough.
Well, the point that I really like that he brought up is that I reckon, and you brought up the point, KG, about the... you know, how high it goes, this review.
It's got to go higher.
I think where the players are really frustrated is they're using, Cricket Australia are using the Sheffield Shield competition to try and find out ways of using different balls. And there's too much experimentation going on, and the players absolutely hate that. And we as ex-players hate that as well, I think, KG.
I reckon there'll be one of the name that'll get to, see you later.
This segment. I love this segment. Well, it just delves into you two young men, how your week went and how you've been going. So, Cage, to start off with you. You've moved into a new establishment. But I'm hearing some intel.
Oh, here we go.
I'm hearing intel, George, that you're back stealing things again.
Oh, look.
What happened?
Well, I've moved into a unit down the bay. Yeah. My lovely daughter, if she wants some space, she's gone to West Beach. And settlement was supposed to be yesterday.
Right.
And for whatever reason, the reason, was held up. Right. So I got no bloody money, have I?
Right. So, so what'd you do?
I went and borrowed.
No. What'd you do?
I borrowed. $50 from
Dakota. Not again.
Dakota. So when I get
not
home,
again.
He's a thief.
Does she know?
No.
Oh, you bloody hell.
She'll know when she gets up because she counts it. She's got $350 in there.
So you picked $50 this morning out of her little kitty.
I got to eat.
While she's asleep. She's asleep.
I left home at 5. Not looking forward to getting up because I know what'll happen. No, she'll get up.
Yep,
she'll count it.
Yep.
And she'll be bloody out the front.
It's 50 large
she's
gone.
She's 50 light.
And she's firing. Pop! You picked $50 out of my purse again.
You've got to stop doing it.
I'm just going to say thanks, Kate. Thank goodness you got some money because I got none. I'm broke.
Oh, now
I'm broke as well.
Now, Blue.
I'm broke.
You're broke. You're broke.
He couldn't afford to buy
your
the coffee.
But, Blue, I reckon you could make some money because we found something during the week that we think if you can get this on the global market, you'll make a lot of money. Now, you're driving in the car with your lovely wife during the week. Explain what happened.
Stitch up. Well, along the lines of Dane Swan's been in the papers.
What? In the back of the car?
Have you made a video?
It's not a sex tape.
Oh, okay.
It's not a sex tape.
She ain't hot flush,
but I'll tell you
it'll be good for our show.
I thought he's having it off in the back seat with Catherine.
Now, it's very annoying. So my daughter does it all the time. She films you without you knowing. Yeah. So me and the missus are mucking around. Yeah. Not Dane Swan style, but, and she's filming. And, you know,
and what were you doing?
Making a goose of yourself. Well, the other day, so she got the idea off my daughter. So myself and Catherine in the car with the kids driving around and a good song comes on, listening
beautiful.
To Triple M.
Yeah.
And so I start singing along and she's bloody filming me, making a goose of myself. And then, without me knowing it, posts it online, social media.
Well, this is what we
got
family.
Here we go.
Oh,
here we go.
Gabby singing.
Did you like that?
What was that? What was the woo-hoo? If you're going to sing, sing.
I would have tried. If I knew it was going to become bloody public knowledge, I would have tried.
What's this?
What are you? And you're bouncing around in the front.
So I fell off the wagon last night because I can't sell my house, can't talk.
So what's happened to your house?
Can't sell.
You've
been on the market for 9 months.
Okay.
Can you believe?
His bloody house is like Elvis Presley.
So what area?
It's in St. Peter's. Okay. Beautiful house, right on the park. Right. You walk out the back gate. You're on the linear park. Okay. Walk into the city.
Right.
So anyway, it's for sale.
Two or three bedroom.
Real estate. Five bedrooms.
How many loos has it got?
It's got four loos.
Four loos.
Right.
Three bathrooms.
Three.
It's a bloody boarding house.
What else you got? Pool.
Got a pool.
Yeah. Oh, what has it got?
Outdoor kitchen.
It's a great joint.
Great joint.
But you're just looking for something to buy.
Well, we probably had the price a little bit too high at the start.
So you can negotiate now or not?
Yeah. Well, we're just basically giving it away at the moment. So need to sell it.
All right.
We've got something for Bluey here.
Oh, well, I'll...
What's this?
Woohoo!
Sounds familiar?
Woohoo!
Dead Set Legends, KG Jars and Greg Blewett. 104.7, it's Adelaide's Triple M. Dead Set Legends on Triple M. Got something to say, hit us up on Twitter, Triple M Adelaide, or hit us up on the phones, 133353. Triple M.
Yeah, good on you, Cheb. Three South Australians born and bred. You were born here, Billy, weren't you?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You were, Jars. Whereabouts, Jars?
Absolutely, KG. But one man that needs to get some assistance.
Wait, I hadn't finished yet. Was what? Three born and bred South Australians talking to South Australian audience.
Four as well. I'm here.
Oh, four. Good on you, Cheb.
Timmy.
Now, where you go,
last
Jars?
Night, GWS in Geelong, Tommy Hawkins. Now, not everyone would have seen this, the incident with Tommy and the umpire.
I saw it.
This is some of the audio from last night's game, Tim.
Are you going to see a suspension there, though? Shouldn't we be just heavy fines for these silly things? Well, we saw it with James Sicily a couple of weeks ago where he sort of trod on the guy, but it's just undisciplined, though.
I don't know whether that's silly, though, Brown. That's a bad look for the game. Yeah. That's a really, really bad look.
That's a considered action.
That's something you don't even want to see at under-12s, under-13s. Yeah, that's right. A bad, bad look for the game.
It's a considered action.
You think that's a suspension, Rudy?
Oh, absolutely.
Well, I agree with Paul Roos. So if you didn't see the game, Tommy Hawkins was in a bit of a scuffle with Davis, Phil Davis, and then the umpire came over and Tommy pushed the umpire's hand away.
So
he made contact.
He made contact.
I totally agree with Paul Roos. That's a weak for me.
I agree with Roosie. I think it's a bad look for the game, but I don't think it's a suspension. I think it's a decent fine, but you can't give him a week for that.
But you can't touch the umpire, KG. You know better than anyone.
I know that.
Zero tolerance.
But there was nothing in that.
That was intentional from my book.
It wasn't even a push.
Yes, it was. He pushed him away. He touched him. And the umpire wasn't happy with it anyway. You see his reaction.
Well, get a...
You reckon that's a fine?
At worst, it's a fine. It's not, probably
Have
not even a fine.
Have you seen his rap sheet, Tom Hawkins? Have you seen his rap sheet?
What do you mean his rap sheet?
Well, mate, he can't handle it. He can't handle pressure.
There's
the good Tom Hawkins, there's the bad, and there's the ugly, and that was the ugly.
What do you reckon? It's a week.
That's a week for me, absolutely. I totally agree with Paul Roos.
I think it's a fine.
The game's, what? So what, you want us to think, so that's okay, touching an umpire?
No, it's not okay, but just warn him and say, do it again, and we'll look at it differently, but you don't throw the book at him first up. Come on, a little bit of common sense got to prevail here. He didn't push him or shove him over.
He pushed him away, he pushed his hand away, so he made initial contact with an umpire.
I tell you what, if he gave
that's him, not on cage. That's a terrible look. You don't want young kids seeing that.
No, you're going over the
top. I can't believe you've gone, give him a fine. There's nothing in
that. Well, just say to him, don't do it again. Fine me if you want to. But no, it doesn't deserve a week. That is absolutely...
What happens if a cricketer touches an umpire?
You're allowed to touch an umpire. If it's in a friendly way...
Yeah, but if it's in an aggressive way... What happens to your cricketer? Does he get a little... Oh, that's all right.
I don't think they're as strict on it as the football codes.
No, they're not.
Because
no.
I hate seeing that. That's one of the things I really dislike about soccer, is the way that the athletes
they're
get in
pack
front
of wolves,
the...
aren't they?
It's horrible.
That's a terrible look.
But also, Roosie said that, it's a bad look for the kids. You don't want the kids pushing you.
No, you don't.
Under-12s, under-13s.
Give him a strong warning and say, you do it again, Hawko, and you are dead in the water. 133353. Folks, if you saw that last night between Hawkins and the umpire, what was your take on it? Does it deserve a fine or a suspension? I cannot believe we're even talking about it.
Because it's a serious issue.
Oh, heaven.
Tommy should just focus on playing football.
Maybe trying to get
a kick.
Well, he kicked four goals.
Yeah, that's true. Well, don't forget, I don't. Hey, no, I turned off 15-minute mark of the first quarter to watch Vets on the Hill.
133353.
Come on,
folks. What would you take if you saw that last night? Should
KG encourages that type of behaviour?
Wind the clock back. I don't encourage it. I'm just saying. Just be very careful. 133353 is our number. Should he get a? I can't believe the reaction to this. Fair dinkum. Give us a call.
Dead Set Legends Triple M.
Yes, welcome back to the Triple M Show, the Saturday morning sports show. It's a beauty.
KG encourages players to touch umpires after last night's performance by Tommy Hawkins for Geelong. Got in a bit of a scuffle, didn't like giving away free kick. The umpire came over, he pushed away, and this is the incident.
Good at that, Haynes, all night, isn't he?
There's no need for that. Hey, don't touch me either.
Ooh. It could be a fine for Tom Hawkins if he did touch the umpire there.
Yeah, he does touch the umpire there. And straight away, the umpire just reminding him that is unacceptable. You cannot touch an umpire.
Well, that's a fair call.
There you go.
The umpire did it beautifully. Don't touch me.
There you go. And Bristol goes, that's a fine. Oh. Come on, Bristol. This is Hawkins post-match.
in the contest. I was obviously late to the ball. He played the free kick in 50 metres against me, and I actually thought initially it was an opposition's hand, so didn't mean to make any contact with him, but apologised to him after. But obviously accidental.
Common sense.
133.53. Is that a 1 week suspension or a fine? Let's go to the phones. Ian the Mad Hawk. G'day, Ian.
Jars, I have great respect for you as a player, mate, but when did we start playing netball? If you put your hand in someone's face, that's their personal space. I'd knock your hand away, son.
But, Madhawk, you can't touch an umpire.
You don't need to put your finger in his face either to make your point.
The umpire wasn't doing that. He was pointing to the spot where he's given the free kick to.
Look, Jars, look where his hand was.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't deserve a suspension. Oh. No, that's over the top.
Yeah, you're just a bit angry, Madhawk, because Hawthorne are struggling. Ollie Vingle Farm. G'day, Ollie.
Hey, how are we? I just think it's going to be fine, probably a suspension too. It's just the world's going really, really soft. You know, that's just how it is these days. So, but yeah, you know, the kids will learn. You know, if their parents raise them right, they'll know what's wrong and right. Not everyone's going to do it, but. Yeah, I don't think it should be a suspension, but it probably will be. But I don't know.
All right, Ollie. Thank you, Ollie. Let's go to Desi of Palauwi. G'day, Des.
Yeah, go for it, Jumps. You sound like you need some back, mate. So I'm with you on this one. Regardless whether you think it's soft or not, there is a rule in place. Cameron Ling just said it. You cannot touch an umpire.
Yep.
So there needs to be a penalty. And the penalty has to act as a deterrent. $1,500 for a bloke that's on 400K is not a deterrent, whereas 1 week will be.
Beautifully said.
Come on.
Beautifully said. Prize, please, Timmy. Cheeky for Des.
Cheeky Greek voucher, mate, or...
Cheeky Greek, our mate Tony.
Tony, hey, that's beautiful food. I'm giving you the strong tip. Cheeky Greek.
$50 Cheeky Greek voucher to their locations in Grange or Mount Barker.
Beautiful.
Good on you there, Desi. Let's go to Mick of Morfitt Vale. G'day, Mick.
Yeah, g'day, mate. How you going? All right. Yeah, just got a query for you. There's too many protected players out there. Hawkins is one of them. They touch an umpire, even just push his hand away, and he gets away with it. If a normal player would have done it, people would have been up in arms and the player would have been pinged.
Well, he is a normal player.
Oh, there is protected players.
He's a very good player, and he's a hard player.
I don't think he's a very good player, and I don't think he's protected. And that's ridiculous to say that.
It's the same thing, though, mate. You touch an umpire, you're gone.
You're gone.
That's it.
Understand.
But your hand touched him or not, you know, it still touched the number.
Well said, Mick. Well said, brother. Greg of Cumberland Park. G'day, mate.
Hey, go, fellas.
KG wants to fine Tom Hawkins for pushing the umpire away.
Yes, as far as I'm concerned, they can suspend a whole lot of them, as far as I'm concerned. Why should Selwood get away? Why should Selwood punch me, our bloke, in the head last week? He gets rubbed out for 4 weeks.
Yeah.
And bloody Selwood gets away with it, so he gets off. I'm going to walk down the street, I'm going to push a cop in the face.
There you go.
No worries.
Yeah, and just get a fine.
If it applies to them. No worries. It's all right for the 2007 finalists, Geelong, to be hyped up with bloody drugs and crap because win the grand final. When we came out 2 weeks or 3 weeks beforehand, and absolutely thumped them in every area, and they're pumped up. Come on, get out of here.
Right, good on you, Greg. Now I've got to keep moving, brother. David of Gawler. G'day, Dave.
Howdy.
Hey, David.
How you going?
Yeah, what's your take on it, David?
He didn't push the umpire away. He sort of touched his hand.
Yeah.
But, geez, it's good for the armchair experts from where they're sitting to say, oh, look, you know, don't touch the umpire. But on the field, your eyes got full of everything, you know, and there was a few other hands starting to come in, you know, and I think it's not worth a suspension, you know, maybe a fine, but no disqualification from the Brownlow or anything.
Well, Hawkins made the point that he thought it was an opposition player coming in, and he just put his hand up.
Oh, what colour was the umpire wearing?
I got no...
In green.
Was he
colourblind, is he,
Tom? Well, it depends where he came from his blind side or where.
Don't touch the umpire. Full stop. Oh, let's go to Brady of Semaphore Park. G'day, buddy.
Yeah, morning, boys. Jars, I'm with you. You've got to look at the bigger picture here. It's about the kids watching the game.
Yes.
The umpire's there to adjudicate the game, and the players have to follow by the rules.
I tell you what,
as far as I'm concerned, the game.
Had the callers not called it, no one would have seen it.
Oh,
disagree, KG. Disagree.
I watched it, and I until they said he's touched the umpire, I couldn't see it.
Oh, you're kidding.
I'm not kidding.
It's very clear, though, isn't it? All the players know that it's just a no-go zone. Blue. You don't touch an umpire.
Don't touch him. Zero.
Give him a decent fine, I say. 10 grand.
Good on you,
bro.
$10,000.
You reckon a fine? Money, they don't give a stuff about money.
Hey, 10 grand.
Missing games they care about. You're a cricket flop for saying
that. You don't get fined 10 grand.
He's called me a cricket flop.
You can't 10 grand.
You wouldn't get,
Tom makes that in a day, in an hour.
You wouldn't get fined 10 grand for murder.
Dave of Elizabeth, help me out, Dave.
Hey, God, Judge, how are you?
Oh, good brother.
He's lost his marbles, we've got plenty in place from the junior side of it to the senior side of it and then to the AFL. These guys are here to make example, you know, of the culture, the community.
Yeah, correct.
Yep.
And at the end of the day, we know the rule. Do not touch an umpire. So why are we even talking about this?
Well, because KG reckons it was nothing in it, and let's just give him a little fine. Slap him on the wrist.
KG, remember, you're an umpire. What happens if he touched you? What would we have in this conversation?
I would have said to him exactly what the umpire said. Hey, don't touch me, and move on.
That's what he touched you, KG.
But beg your pardon?
He touched the umpire, KG.
Well, you're asking me what I would have done.
What's the rule book say? What does the rule book say?
It says don't touch an umpire.
There you go. So it's a week suspension.
There you go. There's the argument.
There you go. Well said. Can I have a prize for Dave, please?
Oh,
yep. You and three mates made off to the Darley Goodwood Day Racing 2018 UBet Festival of Racing at Morpheville. Book now.
Good this on is the team. Andrew Jarman Sports Show, Bluey.
We're all flogged, apparently.
Mate, we want to encourage umpires. What do you call me then?
We're all flogs.
Mate,
we're all
remember flogged, who's the big chief on this show. Just calm down.
You're a flog cricketer. Heaven to bet what I'm going to be. Goodness sake. Oh, folks, save us. Give us a call. Who's coming up next? I'm flustered. Alistair Lynch coming up very short.
And Jarzy just walked out the studio.
You pussycat.
Dead Set Legends, KG Jarz and Greg Blewett. Triple M. 104.7, it's Adelaide's Triple M. You got Saturday morning Dead Set Legends, KG Jarz and Greg Blewett for CMI Toyota, South Australia's number one Toyota dealer.
Time now to speak to our next guest and all things AFL. Brisbane, great. And now joining us on the line with Dead Set Legends is Fox Footy's Alistair Lynch. Welcome, Lynchy.
Good morning, fellas. How are you all?
G'day, champ.
Good, thanks,
Yeah,
Alistair.
We're very good, mate. We've just been going off here. The phone lines, we're talking about last night when the umpire was touched, it was just a little brush. What do you think, a suspension or a fine?
I would have thought, my initial reaction was a fine. I think, I don't want to be in touching umpires and that sort of stuff, but I don't think it was an aggressive move. I'd like to see a fine. I don't know. I know it doesn't look good, and I know Roosie was pretty hard on it, saying it has to be a suspension, but I was thinking gut feel was a fine.
Yeah, I agree.
Lynchy, you can't touch an umpire. You don't want to see kids doing that, Lynchy. I thought you would have said that's a suspension.
Yeah, and I understand that, but was he actually trying to touch the umpire?
No.
Or was the umpire, did the umpire put his hand out towards Tom?
Yeah. It's just a fine and move on.
Yeah, I think it's a fine, but I know there's no doubt you can't go near an umpire. I just felt on the watching live that the umpire reached out and Tom's moved his hand away. Not good. It has to be a penalty. But to miss a game, I just felt at the time that I wouldn't like to see him miss a game for it.
No, exactly right. Alistair, what about the standard of AFL football at the moment? I know it's a hot potato. It's been discussed by everybody, but... Like 3 weeks ago, your old side Brisbane kicked 2 goals for the game. Last night, GWS kicked 2 goals till three-quarter time, 4 for the game. I'm just concerned. I really feel we've got a problem with the AFL footy at the moment, the standard of it.
Yeah, and I think it's a combination of a few things, and everyone's talking about the congestion, but I'm thinking about more the development of players, how they come through. And look at, say, a Brisbane team that, for our own reasons, we've slaughtered our redevelopments and so we've bottomed out and we're struggling to get back up. But you think, when you go to the draft to bring in a talented guy, he's 18 years old and you hope that in 4 years' time he's going to help you.
Yep.
Mm. I mean, Tim Kelly's the classic case in point that guys develop at different stages. if we can have a better development structure underneath, and that might incorporate the state leagues like the SANFL and that sort of stuff, where you're getting guys that get through to 20 before they're draftable, and then when you pluck a 20-year-old who's the number one draft pick, you slot him into your team, he actually makes a big difference.
Yeah, good point.
He's a quality player.
Yep.
And they've had a couple extra years to develop their skills. Like, you look at, and talking in Victorian terms, the TAC Cup, I mean, I know it's different in WA and South Australia because you do push those kids through to play senior football a bit earlier. Yeah. But say the TAC Cup, that's a distant relative of AFL footy because you're not allowed to tag, you're not allowed to play a loose man in defence sort of stuff. It is a different game. So it takes a lot longer for them to adapt their game to AFL footy. So I'd like to see the draft age
go up, yeah.
And what I don't want to see, I don't want to see zones. That's not AFL footy.
No.
And Chris Scott makes a lot of sense when he speaks, but I don't want to see two people taken off the field.
No.
It's an 18-man
spot
game.
On. Yeah.
And what we saw last night at Geelong, I don't know why teams don't do this more these days, but they had Radicalier or Cramery or Tom Hawkins in the 450 for the whole game. Mm. And then in the second half, they changed that, actually, and made Danger. He stand at the top of the
goal square. Mm.
So that stretches it out. Mm. Then that makes it a better spectacle because there's less players around the field. Around the ball, rather.
Spot on, mate. Let's just quickly talk about our two clubs here. Port Adelaide take on the West Coast Eagles over there. Now, would you risk playing Paddy Ryder on that hard service there, Lynchy? Or you reckon Kenny Hinkley's got to give him another week off?
Has to give him another week off. You can't. And we know when Eddie Had or Telstra Dome got up and going to start with, that was hard. Mm. And there were some issues coming through that. Now, no one's saying it. And the Gold Coast Suns will. Stewie Jew's not going to make excuses for surfaces or for anything, really. Yep. But Tom Winch has come out with a fatigue-related sort of PCL injury. Mm. They played back-to-back games at Optus Stadium. Young Fiorini, he's out with a stress-related injury in his leg.
Yep.
And again, back-to-back. I wouldn't let, actually, Paddy Rod even drive to the ground.
Well said, Lynchy. Oh, fantastic.
He's too important for Port Adelaide.
Yep.
I'll be telling him, you stay home, we'll see you in a week.
Yeah. Lynchy, what about the Crows? Do you give Carlton any chance of beating the Crows at home?
Training drill stuff tonight.
No, unfortunately. Carlton have got what experienced players they've got. They've got a number of them on the sidelines. Yep. They're no hope. But in saying that, Brisbane was a similar sort of story when they came over and played Port Adelaide about 4 weeks ago.
They should have got the chocolates too.
Well, they should have, but I think the Crows will just put the whip away and hands and heels home, I reckon.
Beautiful.
Good on you, Lynchy. Thanks very much for your time, mate. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks. That was always good to chat.
Good on you, Alex. Good lad.
See you, champ.
And he's
on Fox
footy
too.
Bluey did mention that.
Yeah, Fox Footy remains the only network to watch every game of every round live.
Oh, hang on.
It's got no ad breaks, siren, all on a dedicated 24/7 AFL channel.
Just quickly, now, Blue, how long have you been with us?
Here we go.
No, I just wonder how long you've been with KG.
He's in one of those moods.
No, I'm in a good mood. Why didn't you ask Alistair a question?
Well,
we got him on.
Well,
mate,
I was
great,
going to, and then KG just slotted in. So that's fine.
You can't help yourself. We're trying to embrace Bluey into our show. We've been together for a long time.
Hey, Tim, can you do me a favour?
I brought him in and asked him a question straight on.
But you meant to ask him too. That's the quote.
Tim, do me a favour. Yeah. Just open that window. I'll just have to jump out.
Before
he pushes me, I'll
jump.
See
ya.
Dead Set Legends. Triple M. 104.7, it's Adelaide's Triple M. You've got Dead Set Legends this Saturday morning here in Adelaide. KG Jars and Greg Blewett for CMI Toyota, Triple M.
Yeah, good on you, Tim. Great people looking to buy a new or used car. CMI Toyota are the only people you should see.
Well, they're the best people.
Well, they are the best.
Great friends of ours.
Absolutely. Adam and the team down there. What a beautiful day this guy.
To go and buy a car from CMI Toyota.
Exactly. Just walks in there. West Terrace, beautiful.
Yep. Cheltenham.
Absolutely. Cheltenham or Christie's Beach. Beautiful day.
Right.
So now look.
Talk to me.
A big cricket season coming up, Bluey.
Yep.
India come here. Mm-hmm. But first of all, I want to ask you about Justin Langer. You're one of his friends. A good appointment, or how do you see his appointment?
No, I thought he was the clear favourite, KG.
Over
and I'm glad. Yeah, I think Dizzy Dizzy's got a lot of raps on him. And yep. I think he would have done a really good job. But I think Dizzy's in a good place at the moment yep. with his coaching. He's
fair cool.
Adelaide Strikers took them to the magnificent victory last summer. And he's coaching. He's just signed a contract with Sussex.
Yep.
So he's got his county cricket and he's got his Strikers.
Beautifully
so I think
balanced.
I think he's pretty happy with that, with his actual lifestyle at the moment. But I think Justin Langer has been appointed for 4 years, Jars, which... Yep.
A long time.
Long time, and he probably would have said that he wanted 4 years. That sort of gets him to a World Cup yep. and an yep. Ashes series, that sort of stuff. But I just think he's a hard nut. There's no doubt about that. Mm-hmm. But he can have a laugh.
Is he a headmaster type coach?
He is a little bit, mm-hmm. I must admit. But I was in the West Indies with him when he filled in for Darren Lehman. That was a couple of years ago. Yep. So I was actually surprised how relaxed he was. He was having a joke with the boys. Yeah. And so I think he strikes a really good balance, won't take any crap. There's no doubt about that. No. So any behaviour that he doesn't like on the field or off the field, he'll stamp that out pretty quickly. So
it's going to be tough for him, though, Bluey, because the other nations aren't going to sit back and let Australia get away with what they've done.
We're missing two of our best players for the next year as well.
Exactly.
So that's a big hole in the Australian team.
Will he let Australia sledge?
Yeah, he will.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah, good.
And he said it the other day as well.
DNA.
He said as long as it's not angry stuff, you know, and he knows he wants the players to know the right from the wrong. But I've been with so Justin Langer and I were in the cricket academy here
in Adelaide
those years ago in Adelaide. So, and at that stage when Justin Langer was in that side, we had heaps of talent. We had Damien Martin, Shane Warne, all these guys, and Justin Langer, he couldn't hit it off the square. We're going, who's this bloke? Why is he in this squad? But He just found a way of getting the best out of himself, and he's done that as a coach as well. He's got a great record over there in WA, and I think he's the right man.
The first test v India, Adelaide Oval.
Yep.
Will it be a day-nighter?
I hope so.
With the pink ball?
Hope so. I mean, as a spectator, it actually doesn't bother me.
Okay.
I actually think we'll get a great crowd anyway. Yep. I think the way South Australians support international cricket in this state is absolutely brilliant.
Particularly India too.
Against India, and it's the first test match. I mean, the interesting thing is that it's in December.
Yeah.
So we haven't got any cricket for a long time here, Australia Day. So I don't know whether too many people are upset about that or not, KG, because the Australia Day falls during the test match in in Brisbane against Sri Lanka. But I'm just wrapped. It's a massive test series against India, and I'm glad we've got the first test.
The thing that's up my nose, Bluey, is the fact that India still haven't committed to a day-night test match. And they're saying they've got to talk to the players, and Virat Kohli is the one they've got to take into consideration.
Yeah, he's got a massive
say. Well, stuff him.
I agree.
Absolutely stuff him. The ICC, the controlling body, are the toothless tigers.
Yeah,
they should say to any nation, when you go to India or you go to South Africa or you go to Australia, you play under their conditions.
And James Sutherland said that the other day in his press conference,
true.
Saying that, we feel like we should have a fair say in whether we play a day-night test match or not. And it's been a great success, has to be said. It's been going
New Zealand,
now for three
South
or four
Africa.
Years.
Yep.
And so it'd be disappointing if we don't get it.
How come they're not playing at the Gabba in a test series?
Because
they Indians.
They didn't want it.
Indians didn't want to play at the...
So they didn't want to play at the Gabba.
Well, Adelaide will suit them a lot better, but if it's a day game.
Yeah,
if it's a pink ball game, that'll suit us.
One day test, one day captain. Who are you tipping?
Well, good.
Is there any names out
there? There's an interesting story today. Jamie Cox, who was involved at the Sacker for a lot of years, saying that should be maybe Travis Head.
I agree totally with him.
So he's still quite inexperienced, whether he's ready or not.
Done a good job though, Bluey.
No, and a very good leader.
Yeah.
I have to say that he's getting better and better.
Yeah.
Whether he's ready yet to be an Australian captain.
Mm. Shouldn't he just focus on his
thing. He's in and out of the side a little bit at the moment.
Wouldn't
I think he should be in. And a great opportunity for him, Jars, to open the batting. He's got the opportunities that he's been given as an opening batsman, he's done well.
Yeah,
so with David Warner out of the side for 12 months, maybe he can slot in there.
There's a big hole there. Yeah, exactly right. So it's going to be a wonderful summer. I can't wait the Indians to get here because it'll be a fiery, fiery series. I can give you the strong tip on it. And I just hope...
We've got to be on our best behaviour, though.
Well, we do, but you don't sit back and cop...
No, you got to stand up for yourself and your mates.
I was about to swear then. If Virat Kohli carries on like a pork chop, like he did in India 3 years ago, I want someone to stand up to him. I'm a wonderful player, but an absolute buffhead.
Dead Set Legends. Triple M.
What about looking at both games today, boys? I tell you what, interesting situation. Which one do you want to do first? You want to do the...
No, we'll look at West Coast and Port Adelaide.
Okay.
All right. Very important game for Port Adelaide. They do have a very good record over there.
I don't reckon they'll play Paddy Ryder for starters. I reckon if it's...
They'll wait till the last minute to make that decision.
Exactly. Are you surprised Tom Cleary's been omitted?
Yeah, his form's dropped off, though, Cage, because Jack Homps has really been playing some super footy the last month, so... that's a good sign for Kenny, a little bit of depth there. Yeah, but Tom's been very serviceable and very loyal, but I think Hompshie's just stepped up a bit there. And obviously Tommy Jonas has been superb down back.
Exactly. This is going to be a test, Bluey, for Port Adelaide over there.
Yep, Jasper Pittard in. So he's been missing for a few weeks. Obviously Chad Wingard goes out with that hamstring as well. Geez, they've been hard to beat, though, haven't they, the Perth teams at the new ground? So... This is one of the good games, though, isn't it?
Oh, no doubt.
Port and West Coast. So, geez, it's tough one.
This is a huge test.
I reckon Port might win that one.
Ooh, gee.
Midfield's critical. Outside speed's critical. Andrew Gaff. I think Brady Ebert needs to probably run with Gaff because he sets him up from the outside.
Polek's an important player for Port Adelaide.
Jared's been playing very well.
Gives him a lot of run.
There's some real good matchups. And obviously, McGovern. They've got to keep an eye on McGovern because he's obviously playing some very good football. He plays that intercept mark role very, very well. So Port, they can't afford just to bomb the ball inside forward 50. They've got to make sure they're hitting up their targets.
How would you use Charlie Dixon? If Ryder plays,
then that frees up Dicko to play a lot more deeper. I like to see him deep inside forward 50.
I agree.
And on the move and get it to his fat side. But are we doing a little segment called Predictions or Lock of the Round?
Are we
going to play a little bit of a game like that?
Yep.
Can I start off with my bit of a bold prediction regarding?
Yeah, away you
go. I say Charlie Dixon would kick 5 goals?
Oh, that's mine. What was that?
It's a lock. Lock of the round. So it's a lock.
I thought the window had bloody
opened. So he'll have 5 contested marks. That's a lock. And he'll take 5. He'll have 5 tackles. All right. There you go.
Bluey.
No, you go, KJ.
No, you go, Bluey.
You haven't made up your mind, have you?
No, I haven't. No.
Yeah.
I thought we were only doing one lock of the round. Mine was Crows. So you go,
Cage. Bluey's not ready.
Oh,
what's your lock of the round?
Lock of the round. Brady Ebert to be BOG. Best on ground.
Well, hang on. You're right. Okay. Yep. Brady Ebert to be BOG. Yep.
Who's doing this?
Yeah. What else you got? So that's your lock. What else you got?
Lock.
Because we're going to do the Crows. You can say the Crows.
Well, no, we just do this game, aren't we?
Oh, yeah, and then we'll do the
Crows. Oh,
jeez. Shambles. Blue, what do you got?
Oh, I'm finished.
He hasn't finished.
Sorry, George.
Finished.
What else you got?
How do you spell shambles?
Go. And what's the other?
What could I say here? Homps. Homps.
Yep. Jack Homps, yep.
To play an outstanding game in defence.
Okay. So, Port Adelaide, are you tipping quickly?
I'm tipping Port Adelaide.
Blue?
Oh, I'm tipping Port Adelaide, but my lock is I'm a big fan of this guy and might just be at the Crows next year. You just never know. McGovern, B-O-G.
Okay. There's Bluey's
That's
lock.
My lock.
Okay, let's quickly look at the Crows and Carlton tonight.
I tell you what, Jars, the Crows only have to turn up tonight.
Be a bit more respectful to Carlton.
Well, man, they've got so many players out as well. They haven't won a game. The Norton Six.
Well, we've got a few out too.
Oh, yeah, but
captain, vice captain.
Yeah, but we can cover
the Red Baron. Tommy Lynch is captaining tonight. His first game,
which is fantastic. They only have to come to Adelaide Oval tonight in the right frame of mind, and they'll win, and they'll win comfortably.
Yeah, get the job done. Don't switch off mentally.
No,
they've got
exactly
too much
right.
class right across the ground there, and. They'll be competitive, Carlton, for a period of time. First time they've been playing in Adelaide Ovals, in Adelaide since 2010.
And a bit more spice with Betts and Bryce Gibbs playing, which former Carlton players.
6:45, Trillium's rocking footy. Mark Rashido, Dale Lewis, Brendan Yates, and the Big Texan. The Big Texan, the satellite dish, will be in the box because he's got big ears.
Now, Blue, you couldn't see Carlton beat this, surely.
What's your lock?
No. Percentage booster tonight for the
That's your
the Crows.
Lock?
No, my lock is obviously the Crows winning, but Eddie Betts has missed a couple of weeks, and he hasn't probably been at his best for the opening few rounds, so lock him in for 4 goals plus tonight, the Edster.
Done. Cage?
I'm going for the Crows to win by 10, lock it in.
Yep.
And Matty Crouch to beat the all-time disposal record of 54.
Okay.
54?
That's the all-time. Tom Mitchell got 54. He's going to beat it tonight, Matty Crouch.
You're locking right. that in.
Locking it in.
What about you, Jazz?
I'm going to lock in that Bryce Gibbs will have a dust-up with some ex-teammates.
Oh, he's not a lock fighting person.
Don't care. Lock it in. All right? There'll be all a little right. bit argy-bargy.
Right.
All right. If I don't see it, I'll be disappointed from Carlton.
And what else is there?
That's it. That's all I'm going to do. Oh. So I've got to get ready for Q&A.
Fair
All right. So Crows by what, 10?
10.
Blue?
Crows by 8 goals, I think.
Okay. Yeah, about 60 points.
My fave. Q&L up next. Sorry, Q&A. Q&L. What's Q&L?
Oh, no.
Fair
just started a new segment. No. Dead Set Legends, Triple M.
On Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
You don't have to answer that question.
It's Q&A.
I'll answer the question.
The big questions.
You want answers?
The straight answers.
I want the truth!
Okay, KG and Bluey, let's go. Don't sit on the fence. KG, why did you pinch $50 from your granddaughter's purse this morning?
I didn't pinch, I borrowed because I'm broke. I've got no money. I've got to eat.
Greg Blewett, have you fallen out of love with Aussie rules?
No, definitely not.
KG, why don't you like watching AFL footy anymore?
Because it's not the exciting game that I've grown up with over 60-odd years. It's too much defensive, and the coaches have got a lot to answer
KG,
for.
KG, will the Crows pay Tom Lynch $700,000 a year to stay?
I would, definitely. No doubt.
Greg Blewett, Justin Langer must let Australian cricket team sledge? Yes or no?
Yeah, he will allow that, okay. No doubt about it.
Greg Blewett, does Fremantle's Nat Fyfe look more like a beautiful female model?
No. The man bun, he's not the only one, though.
Did the Crows sack Bet Goddard?
I think they're part of...
Did the Crows sack Bet Goddard? Yes or no?
I'm about to answer the question. They mutually agreed to part company.
Greg Blewett, what's the one thing men want in bed?
Good luck.
Sex.
What about a cuddle? What about a kiss? What about holding
you
hands?
Want, I reckon you just want a nice, you want a nice pillow and bit of a roll around.
Just keep it
KG,
simple.
Yeah, for $1 million, would you fly in a private plane?
Oh, bloody hell, with $1 million.
You'd fly in a but you don't like flying.
I hate it, but I'd go there and put my eye mask on.
All right. In a private plane for $1 million in a stormy night.
Oh, now you're changing. No, I wouldn't now. I'm stuffed.
Greg Blewett, which brother is better, Mark Waugh or Steve Waugh?
What, better cricketer or better bloke?
Answer the question, mate.
Well, Steve was a better player, probably.
Okay, so you think Steve Waugh's better than Mark. KG, which record. Brother is better, Matty Crouch or Brad Crouch?
Oh, Brad Crouch at his best, without a shadow of a doubt.
So you don't rate Matt then?
Then that wasn't the question. The question was, who's the best? Matt Crouch at his best is better than Matt. I have great respect for Matty Crouch.
Greg Blewett, does Crows coach Don Pike need a personality overhaul?
No, great bloke. Great bloke.
KG, you moved into your new apartment. Do you employ a maid?
You've moved into a new apartment.
Have you employed a maid?
No, I haven't employed a maid. I can't afford it.
Yes, you can, because you're pinching money from your granddaughter's purse.
$50. I wouldn't get a maid.
Greg Blewett, what celebrity would you rate as a perfect 10?
Jessica Alba.
Jessica Alba?
Who's she?
I'm getting some quiet claps
KG,
in the background.
KG, yeah. Can Ken Hinckley handle pressure as a senior coach?
Second best coach in the AFL, Ken Hinckley, in my view.
Who's the first?
Alistair Clarkson.
Where's Don Pike? Rate Don Pike there.
This is not the question. I've answered your question.
Greg Blewett, if peanut butter wasn't called peanut butter, what would it be called?
Peanut paste.
Greg Blewett, would you rather sell your possessions or sell one of your organs?
Possessions.
Would you rather sell your possessions or sell one of your organs?
Possessions.
Okay. KG. Yep. Will the AFL ban Bomber Thompson for life for allegedly trafficking drugs if found guilty?
No, they won't, but he's lost a great deal of respect, unfortunately. We've got to go, I think.
Not yet. Is there any leaked videos of you, KG?
What?
Is there any leaked videos of you, KG?
Tell you what, that put a few blokes to shame if it did leak off.
Yes, Cage.
Well done, boys.
Bit
good
of fight in the old cage.
Right. Yeah, bit of fight, old son.
Are we done?
Bit of fight in the old bug.
See you, family. We're going to go.
Bye, everyone.
The
Dead Set Legends, the best way to kickstart your Saturday. And check out CMI Toyota for the best range of new and demo Toyota in stock. 104.7 Triple M.